Norman Chan.
Hey, Will.
How did you sleep last night?
I slept fairly well. Pretty well, actually. I've been testing a new mattress, and I want to talk about a mattress company that's sponsoring this podcast.
This episode right now?
This episode was brought to you by Casper.com and their new company. They make mattresses. I didn't know there were any new mattress companies making mattresses, but here they are. And they sent me a mattress to lay on, and it was kind of cool. I received a queen mattress in a box. It was a 60-pound box, and I was really surprised how small this box was.
Was it like a square box? Was it like an Amazon-type box?
It's a box I could reuse to make a rocket spaceship if I wanted to.
Really?
4 foot tall, about 2 feet by 3 feet. But it's memory foam and, you know, latex foam, and it's just compressed. You can, like, open the box, slice the padding, slice the wrapping, and then it kind of breathes in and unfolds.
How long did that take? Was it like days, hours, weeks, minutes?
6 to 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they sell mattresses. They're made in the USA, and like $500 for a twin mattress, up to $950 for king size ones. And my old mattress was purely spring base, so it was really cool to sleep on one that had memory foam.
So I have a latex and memory foam mattress, and it's too squishy. Like, I sink in, and it's maybe not optimal for other bed type activities.
This one has bounce, definitely has bounce.
Okay.
But not to a point where if you, for example, set a cup or a tray on one end and then stepped on the other end, it wouldn't flip over the tray. So still, it's both squishy and also has bounce. Give.
They describe it as obsessively engineered, and they'll ship it to your house. If you want to try out a Casper mattress, you can go to Casper.com and put in the /untitled and use the offer code untitled to get how much off? $50 off?
$50 off, which I think is pretty cool if it's $500 for a twin size bed, and then you can try the mattress for 100 days, free shipping. They'll just take it back if you don't like it.
It's amazing, because when I went to the store to get a mattress, like, king size beds cost $4,000 or $5,000 sometimes. They are crazy expensive. I don't know if that's just here or everywhere, but $1,000 for a king size bed seems very much more reasonable.
Casper.com/untitled. Thank them for supporting the podcast, and on with the show.
Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Norm.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Oh, it is it's 5 minutes afternoon.
I was going to say, it was a good afternoon, good evening, or good night.
Oh, good night. Sorry, I didn't take the lead. Yes, I was in Austin, Texas this weekend.
I was in Chicago, Illinois this weekend.
How was your weekend?
I had never been to Chicago, aside from airport before.
Is it windy? They have two airports.
So I flew into ORD. O'Hare, the big airport. Yeah.
It's a great airport. I mean, I know it doesn't get high marks in terms of moving planes through, but I find it a lovely
It's
airport.
Humane.
Mm-hmm.
They have the toilet seat covers that have the plastic thing that go across them. It's like an automated ass gasket.
Automated ass gasket.
Wait, they lay out the paper?
There is a machine on the back of the toilet seat, and when you wave your hand over the top, the ass gasket is on a track around the ring of the toilet seat, and used ass gasket goes into one side, new ass gasket comes out of the other side.
So every now and then someone has to come and clear out a whole like bin full of used ass gasket.
I have to imagine that
it's not compressed and burned immediately.
Yeah, maybe
it just goes into the replicator.
DNA is used to colonize
fancy
other planets.
I think that they have a squeegee on the inside, and it's just one continuous loop of ass gasket.
So my favorite, you know, when you used to go in and they would have the towel machine that was on the endless
loop. Those things were great. My grandmother had one of those in her kitchen.
And it said specifically on it, do not place head inside towel loop. So, of course, that's what I did the first time I saw one.
What? Did anything bad happen?
No, I think it's just like so because you could trip and fall and choke yourself or something.
Wow.
You'd have to work pretty hard.
What do you mean put your head inside the towel loop?
Well, so it's like a machine, right? And a long cloth, terry yes. cloth towel comes out and goes back into it. Mm-hmm. And the way it works is I think it's like 50 feet long and you do it mm-hmm. and they launder it every day or something like
okay.
that.
I don't even think it's that long. I think it's just on a, yeah, anyway. But yes, they presumably take it out occasionally.
It
and
could
launder
also
it.
Just be the same loop.
I think it's a but small it's, loop. Be, I think yeah. it's just short.
There's slack on the towel.
There is.
Yeah. So it dangles so like it 3 feet about, below.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
two.
Yeah, exactly.
And you could put your head in that slack?
Totally can. I did.
With the purpose of cleaning
and
your face?
I have no idea.
I think
idea.
You dry your,
no,
your hair.
No, it says don't do that.
Okay.
You shouldn't do that. But of course I did.
Okay.
Chicago's amazing.
I love Chicago. It's one of my favorite cities.
I can't believe I've never been there before because it is like I literally rode the train in because I got there.
Yeah.
I looked at Google and it said same 25 minutes quicker to get from O'Hare to downtown on the train than the car. That's an easy decision. $5 and I'm there. And I walked around for about 10 minutes. I was like, this place is unbelievable. Chicago, how have I never been here before?
It's a terrific city. It gets balls hot in the summer and crazy cold in the winter, but the food's really good.
Oh my God.
People are awesome.
I had such good Italian food within 3 minutes of, it was delightful.
There's a famous burger place called Kuma's Corner.
Okay.
Where they serve up a split in half sausage burger thing that they call the Goblin Cock.
So it is a sausage on top of a burger?
I can't quite remember the specifics, but Kuma's is, I went there with our friends, Kim and Clark, and Julie and I have good friends in Chicago, so we spent a lot of time there. And like Kuma's is a place where it was totally worth waiting 90 minutes to get the burger.
It must be slathered in Miracle Whip, otherwise known as Miracle Whip, Goblin.
And I think there's also I think there was also a spice going on.
I'm looking up the name of something so I don't mess it up, because it was good to the point that I don't want to mess it up.
All right.
But I went for breakfast on one morning, I can't remember, Friday maybe. I went to a place called a Little Goat Diner with a friend, and it is by Stephanie Izzard, I think, who was on Top Chef, like one of the early seasons of Top Chef was the winner. And I had for breakfast a thing that had a biscuit. Then on top of the biscuit was a slice of pork belly. Top of the pork belly was a poached egg. And then there was some kimchi and like a kale salad. And then there was this sauce, and it has a name, but I don't remember the name, that was like pureed salt cod and potatoes.
Wow.
I mean, so it was almost just like a tiny hint of fish with on a potato cream, almost like it was easily a top 10 meal of my life. And it was like $8 or $12 or something for breakfast.
So I also went to an amazing food city, Austin, Texas.
Ooh, yeah.
Holy cow. What? I mean,
they're also into pigs there.
Yes, they are. And oh my God, it was so good. We ate really, really well. I was down there because Tom Sachs, the artist, we've covered him on Tested a Bunch.
You should watch the Talking Room if you never saw it.
The Talking Room with Tom is one of my favorites. And Tom had a retrospective of his boom boxes going back 15 years at the Contemporary Museum in Austin. And then there was also talks given at this sculpture garden in Austin where that has a few of Tom's pieces.
So I'm not familiar with the boom boxes. We talked about his Le Corbusier stuff and all that. But
So he has been making custom boom boxes for 15 years.
Like parting out old boom boxes and then putting them in new cases?
No, this is literally taking speakers and a driver of some kind and a mini amp and putting them into different form factors. There's a boombox built into a cinder block.
Oh, wow.
There's a couple of giant speaker horns sort of based on the old Nazi propaganda speakers.
Okay.
There's ones with samurai swords as handles. They're ceramic, completely ceramic boomboxes.
Self-contained units. You can play music from them.
And they all work. They all function. Mm. There's a giant wall-sized one that weighs thousands of pounds. All, of course, using Tom's signatures of plywood and custom labeling and
five
extra
colors.
Things like zombie-killing machetes bolted to the side. I don't mean to trivialize it at all. These things were gorgeous. And Julia, my wife, had never seen Tom's work in person.
Oh.
So we went to the opening on Friday night. Now, one of the pieces that was down in Austin as part of this retrospective was a car, a souped-up Chevy Caprice that Tom has been lovingly restoring for the last 10 years.
So it's a like 70s era, early 80s?
79,
I believe. So it's in the land boat category
boat
of cars.
And like you look at it and it says cop car.
Yeah.
Now it's not painted with any markings. It doesn't have a light bar, but it does have one of the spotlights on the left side.
Is the Caprice the Blues Brothers car?
That I do not know.
It would be the right era, but maybe not. I don't know.
It might be a Lincoln, but
Okay.
So, I wish it would show up in the comments.
Yeah. If only we had some way to find out.
Manifest.
So he said, I'm going to have the car down there and it's working. And I said, do you want me to drive it? And he said, well, I was thinking if we get some time to hang, maybe we should drive it.
Around Austin?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this thing has been totally souped up. It's got a bypass on the exhaust, and it's got nitrous.
Street racing.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So Friday, we went to the opening. Right. So Friday, we went to the opening. And then after the opening, I hung out with Tom and his friends in the bar. Oh, we also stayed at this hotel in Austin called the St. Cecilia, which is an amazing, amazing. He's instantly one of, I've stayed there before. Julia has not.
Is this the place you stayed at South by?
No, that was the Driscoll, which was also amazing.
Yeah, that was.
But the St. Cecilia is like every room is laid out. It just feels like a little apartment and you have a porch in front and there's a swimming pool and neon signs. It's very hip and cool and feels great. The food's good. The staff is amazing. So it's right about like 2 a.m. on Friday night. And Tom says, do you want to try out the car? So there's a parking lot next door.
It's important to note that you don't drink at this point.
I don't drink. Yes, this is true.
Because 2 a.m. drives after hanging out with people could seem on paper to be a really bad idea.
Yeah, except that I'm totally sober.
Yes.
So we go to this parking lot that's right next door to the hotel. And we do a few donuts for about 5 minutes. And then we go back. And I go to bed, wake up. The next day, there's a talk at the sculpture garden, and then there's a sit-down dinner for a bunch of the supporters of the exhibition and the museum and some speeches and such. And then after that, I guess we hang out in the bar for a while. Julie and I are really tired. I didn't get enough sleep the night before. So we go to bed. Now, we're flying home on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, we realize, oh, man, we're flying back on a 5 p.m. flight. We want to be home. We don't want to wait around all day. Like, Austin's great, and we're really happy. But also, we like to travel, and we also like to get home.
Yeah.
So we checked, and there's an 8 a.m. flight. So we booked it. We changed our seats. We booked the 8 a.m. flight. So now it's like 12:30 at night. And I know Tom and everybody is still hanging out in the bar.
Yeah.
So I say, look, I'm going to put on some clothes and go say goodnight and say goodbye. And I open the door to my room, and there's Tom coming up the stairs with the keys to the Caprice in his hand. And I said, you know, I just changed my tickets. And he says, you want to do one more drive? And I say, yes, absolutely. Let's go do it. So we get in the Caprice.
Did you hit the nitrous ever?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Where's the button for that?
It's... I'm not going to tell you where it is in the car. There's a custom button panel.
Custom button panel.
I'm not going to guide you. There's a custom button panel. There's a button panel with an arming button and a blue
sequence.
Button. There is a sequence to activate.
At some point, we have to talk about Fast and the Furious here. You realize that?
Yes, okay. It's true. It will require me to actually watch those movies.
I can loan you the Blu-rays.
I've heard they're really great.
You have to set your expectations.
Okay. So we go back out to the same parking lot. And I do some drifting. And I mean, this car is so powerful. Now, to be clear, drifting is where the back wheels lose their traction with the ground, but you can still steer the car by utilizing the amount of throttle you're applying to them. So you can move in directions that you intend. They're just not forward.
So you're steering with the centrifugal force that comes off of the transaxle because you're doing...
No? We worked this all out when we shot a drifting episode that will air later on this year.
Okay.
And because my brain is very spongy, the science piece to camera that I did is now escaping me.
It'll be a surprise for everyone in a few months.
You've been on ice where you're skidding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the car moves sideways and you turn into the skid. Drifting is very similar, except that because you're actually spinning the wheels, you're getting a different kind of rolling traction. And you can utilize that. So I was showing Tom how we do 360s. Now, Tom wasn't drunk or anything, but I showed him how to do some drifting. And then I got back in the driver's seat and I did some final 360s. And this is, understand, the car is doing these 360s. It's always pointed towards the center.
Oh, yeah.
And it's moving sideways around these light poles in this parking lot.
And it's not like it's fixed in one position doing a circle. It's actually moving. There's a radius.
It is. Both the front end. Yeah, it is
but
moving.
There's a radius.
It's moving on a radius. And when you have a car that's powerful enough and you've got the rhythm, which is you're never even touching the brake, you're just using the steering and the amount of throttle. And it's sort of counterintuitive because less throttle means you turn sharper. Mm-hmm. More throttle means you turn looser. And things can get out of control.
You just gotta pray you don't gain traction all of a sudden, right?
So we did that, and I'm doing my last couple of donuts, and John Law shows up.
Uh-oh.
The cops show up.
And just to be clear, Tom is doing this. like Tom is into this because he's kind of into functional art. It seems from my understanding, right? He doesn't want to build things for the sake of building them. He wants to build them and then use them, experience them the 100%. Way you would expect.
No, that's the point. This car was built to be driven, and we are running it through its life's purpose at this point.
I gotta imagine that this is a weird, like, if you put yourself in the cop's shoes, this is a situation. That is wholly unexpected.
Well, you also, so it's a fancy residential neighborhood right next door to a hotel.
Yep.
So the order of operations is, look, I know he doesn't know what he's going to find. Is he going to find a couple of drugged out teenagers, drunk people, whatever?
Right.
So I have to assume that it's going to be a relief to find a sober adult behind the wheel. Mm-hmm. But it's also going to be like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
So I say, as he comes up to the car, I open the door. He's stay in the car. I'm like, I'm opening the door. I have my hands up. I'm opening the door because the window doesn't roll down. Okay. I said, I'm very sorry to drag you out here at this time of night, officer, for something so stupid. We're just a couple of idiots. My friend Tom here has a retrospective at the Contemporary. This is one of the sculptures, and we're just running it through its paces. And the officer says, this isn't some Mythbusters thing you're doing. And I said, I promise you I'm off duty. And he says, I heard about this last night. Also, was that you too? And I said, I have to admit it was. And he says, is this an ongoing thing? Are we going to have to come back and deal with this again? I said, no, I'm leaving town tomorrow, and I promise you will never hear from me about driving again. I'm really sorry. And he says, he's very incredibly professional and awesome, Austin PD. He goes away to check my license, and his partner comes up and goes, is this 78 or 79?
Oh, my goodness.
So I mean, we are in a cop car.
We've got to evaluate this a little bit, though, because there's the moment. Norm, have you ever been pulled over?
Yes.
Okay. There's the moment when the cop is walking to the car before you have fully ascertained how much, at least for me, how much trouble you're going to be in.
Right.
You could have been in a fair amount of trouble in this situation.
So I wasn't that worried. Look, anybody, you know, the cops have a tremendous amount of discretion in these situations. And I could easily imagine that I could piss him off and he could decide to waste the next 10 or 15 hours of my life. Mm-hmm. I also know that I'm completely sober. I know that I'm in control of the vehicle. I've been professionally trained to drive it safely. And there is no property damage. Mm-hmm. So effectively, I figure...
You're in a public parking lot or a private parking lot?
I have no idea.
Okay.
The moment I saw him, I thought, maybe we're not flying home in the morning. I mean, really, that could
right.
be.
How does the call to Julia go?
Right, exactly.
It's the one call. Do you remember the name of the hotel?
So the story gets better. this next part you're going to have to cut out.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
But
people are going to love
you're
this.
You're just going to have, I know. And
give us a pause. Oh, we definitely can't put that in the podcast.
Nope, okay. Guys.
I'm going to come back just in the middle of that laugh.
Right. But now we're back.
Wow.
So Tom and I, the cops lets me off with a warning. Again, my hat's off to Austin PD. I'm sorry for dragging them out in the middle of the night for something so dumb. They were awesome. They let me off with a warning. We went and parked the car. We went back to the hotel. Now it's like 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Right.
You're in push-through territory here.
Yeah. And I get to the bar, and I'm going to say goodbye to Tom. I'm going to say goodnight and goodbye. I'll see you in New York in a few weeks or whatever. And this guy in a three-piece suit comes up to me and says, Adam Savage, I am Lilo. I am the road manager for Jack White. He is staying in this hotel. He heard that you were staying in this hotel, and he's a huge fan. He'd love you to come say hello. And I look at Tom, and we were like, okay.
Did you take Tom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We went and we went over to Jack's room and hung out for about half an hour. He's got two kids, 7 and 9 years old. We talked about music and vinyl. You know, he's one of the firm progenitors of pressing vinyl. His
Third Man Records
venue in Nashville is actually one of the only places. I think it's the only place you can actually do a performance there and press it to acetate right away.
Wow. It's Third Man Records is the name of the label that he runs, and it's amazing.
So hold on a second. I'm going to show you, where is it? There we go. There's Tom and Jack and I.
Oh my God.
Look at how happy Tom is.
Look at how happy everyone involved is.
I was so excited. It was so awesome.
Oh, my wife is going to be the most jealous she's ever been of anything.
I'll tell you, Jack could not have been a nicer, more gracious, more grounded dude. I don't know much about his personal life. I love his music. I'm a huge fan.
I've seen him probably 20 times in the last 10 years.
He is he's a hell of a performer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he had just finished a 2-hour performance in Austin, which he did the next night, and Tom went to that performance.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, epic night. Wait, might I mention that the previous night, when we went to get the Caprice the first night, we had to go over to a sister hotel, the Hotel San Jose, to pick it up. And as we were picking it up, we were literally just unlocking the car. We heard this terrible sound of a skid and a screech, and a guy wiped out on his motorcycle right in front of the hotel. Now, he was totally drunk, shit-faced, and he was fine. Like, the bike went out from under him and skidded another 200 feet, and he was just lying on the ground, kind of rolling drunkenly, going, arr, arr.
Wow.
And I know this because the ambulance showed up and he was fine. Not fine. I mean, clearly probably woke up handcuffed to a hospital bed.
He had a bad day of his own making.
But Tom and I directed traffic around the accident until the ambulance showed up. So Julia goes, oh my God, that's like a dream come true. Did they give you little uniforms?
You had the shiny gloves.
And then the next night after the cop escapade at Jack White, Julia goes, every time you guys get together, it's like a fantasy date.
Yeah. It's like a Judd Apatow movie. No, it's like half of Superbad.
I know.
This is absolutely it's just it's incredible.
It was an epic, epic,
incredible sequence of events.
It was epic to fulfill the Caprice's purpose. Right?
Oh yeah,
which was to have a good run in that wasn't overblown.
Never say no.
I think you guys need to go. Yeah, never say no.
And also, don't try it at home.
No, do not. I am not advocating doing this.
Don't do parking lot. I think you and Tom need to go on a road trip in that thing.
I think that's entirely a great idea.
I mean, it's easy for me to say from here.
what kind of trouble could we get
into? You might want to talk to Julia first.
So yeah, that was my weekend. We got back yesterday at about 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. I slept for a couple of hours, but then I was up late last night because Tim Minchin, my friend and amazing musician, was in town playing at the Norse. And Rebecca Watson was there, mm-hmm. and so was one of my heroes, Dan Savage, of the writer of Savage Love column and the Savage Love podcast. And so we all hung out and went out to dinner last night. So I was again up until 1 a.m. And then we got up, Norm and I got up early this morning to fly some drones with Eric Chang. And so after this podcast, I'm going to go take a long nap.
The combat nap's not a bad idea, it seems like, in this situation. Yeah,
I'm going to have to spend a good portion of this week earning my rest back. Yeah, I'm feeling it, too. I'm feeling it.
High points for Chicago, for Austin Meals? Because it is like we had some of the best barbecue. We had fancy barbecue one night that was among the nicest. I can't remember the name of the place now.
It was really good.
We went to a bar called Whistler's that had a food truck attached to it.
That sounds
good. Had incredible food. Really amazing fried chicken. Super, super spicy with some hot, the sausages were later at the sit-down meal at the St. Cecilia, which was also amazing. Like, when is a 80% sit-down dinner good food?
Right.
Almost never. I mean, it's like the best you can usually hope for is adequate or pretty good.
Yeah.
This was world class.
Like, wow.
Genuinely incredible. Where else? No, Whistler's was Friday night. Saturday night was a sit-down dinner, and we ate breakfast at the hotel. Again, our breakfast at the hotel was a slices of pork sandwich that was stunning.
Sounds good. Wexler's was the name of the fancy place.
Wexler's, yes. I know about
Wexler's. Wexler's is strong.
Yeah.
I think that's as good.
Austin, I'm sorry. Austin's an amazing city. Yes.
It's funny. An oasis.
We were the north and south of the Midwest this weekend, you and I.
Oh, yes, we were.
And the thing that amazed me, the takeaway, so I went to a little tiny, well, not that tiny anymore, but a small conference in Chicago. And the thing that amazed me was how game everyone was for kind of everything.
And that's what Austin felt like, too. And when people we were talking to, locals were talking, the word everyone used is everyone here is chill.
Yeah.
And it really feels like that, like a great city with real character. It's a really individual city, but with really thriving art scene and a burgeoning fine art scene. I mean, what the contemporary is doing is really exciting.
They're spending money on museums, yeah. Which is exciting.
And they've got a great donor culture there. I met a lot of the people intrinsic to the up and coming art scene there. Mm. And it's really exciting to be part of that.
I think we should also take a moment to acknowledge some privilege. In your dealing with John Q. Law?
100%. Right. No, I fully admit. But at the same time, that privilege carries a double-edged sword, right? Because if I was an asshole...
Oh, absolutely.
Like, doubly.
And I can certainly see, you know, officer approaches, sees that it's me. Oh, I wonder who I'm going to get. I wonder if it turns out that this guy's a dick. I wonder if he's drunk. I wonder if he's on drugs. All of those things right. are going through his mind. So my goal is not only to... just be totally honest, you know, so sorry, we're idiots, this is, you know, but also it is not to in any way try, I don't want to parlay that privilege.
Right. You can't play, well,
no.
I mean, I didn't mean the Mythbuster privilege.
Actually, I do recognize yeah. that it exists.
I meant the default, the starting out at a better default because of your status as a white male who's middle-aged rather than.
No, there's that too. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. That is also true.
I think,
and a sad state of affairs.
Yeah, and it's not
that is true, and it's unfortunate because all lives matter. Let's just say that.
That's our official policy here.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem like it should be controversial yet.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if that's a good place to stop or not, but that's where we're going to run it out. Norm, what did you do this weekend?
I watched a lot of movies.
What did you see?
We'll talk about them next podcast.
Okay.
See you guys next time. Like us on iTunes. Review us on iTunes. Like us on YouTube. If you want to know about Tested Premium Memberships, where you get all sorts of extra stuff and a discount on t-shirts, you can do that by going to tested.com/membership. We will see you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.